Welcome to church, everybody. How's everyone doing? It is great to have everyone here together for service for our World Cup Sunday. I know we're counting down to the World Cup, so don't worry. We're going to try to wrap up in time. But we're going to continue our You Not Me series. We focused on prayer. We're on our share unit. This is actually our last Sunday looking at the idea of share and how we share our faith and share our love with others and with our community. Through the summer, we're going to add an extra layer. We're going to do our usual, which we do every summer, is add our summer movie themes. And so as we transition from talking about share and how our lives impact the world around us and the people around us, we're going to start talking about care next week and how the care that's required to really impact others. Today, we're going to talk about God's incredible love, right? Jumping into the Incredibles theme. How many of you guys seen the Incredibles movie? Yeah. Right? It's really great. Incredibles 2, even better. And so as we're learning to share our faith, I just wanted to give a shout out to all the kids, all the children in the area. Can I hear a shout out? Where are all the children at? That's awesome. Where are all the adults at? All right, so we've got family here, and it's great to worship as family. And so as we talk about God's incredible love, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer as we transition into our sermon and communion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the exciting and energetic service so far. We thank you so much, God, for the children and how they remind us, God, that we worship as family, God, and that your faith and your gospel, your grace and your mercy is for all ages, God. And we hope to experience it at all ages in different walks of life, God, and it's for everyone. And so we thank you so much to have a chance to worship together with the kids here. We pray so much that everyone's attention is focused on your word and on you today. Thank you so much for your power, God. I do want to take a moment to pray for our brothers, God, and our sisters who are in need. I want to pray, God, for Gimo Baker, God, who's still in the hospital. And I pray, Father, that the doctors are able to figure out what's going on with him and provide great healing, great power. Help us to be a great comfort and strength to the Mobakas at this time. I also want to pray for Eugene, God, who is starting to recover and is still in the hospital. God, I pray that you can just be a great strength for him as well, God, and I pray that you can grant him great healing very quickly. I know, God, there are many other needs, Lord, and I pray that you continue to meet them. I know Nicholas Brown is in Jamaica taking care of his father, and I know there's been many recoveries as well, God, so thank you so much for the way you've been working, Father, and I pray that you continue, God, to work and provide for those that we love. We thank you for this time. Again, we pray for the power of your message today. Help us to hear and to see your incredible love, God, and allow that to really transform us. So in your son's name we pray. Amen. You know, so as we're learning to share our faith, as we're learning to love one another, right, and provide the care that we need, I think one of the things I wanted to talk about today that's important for us to consider is actually sin. In light of God's love, we actually have to remember that chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Even the world recognizes this truth, actually, right? And they say no one's perfect, right? Everyone deals with sin. Everyone struggles with it. And sin, though, it's not just mistakes, right? It's not about like, oh, I got a B instead of an A. It's not our shortcomings in that sense. It's actually our disobedience to the things that God asks us to do. In John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." And so what happens with sin is God shines out his light, he provides his word, he provides instruction, and our sin is kind of like a block, right? It provides, it interrupts God's light and casts shade or darkness into us. And we end up in darkness because we're fighting against the instruction or the word that God has given us, right? So again, our sin blocks the light. It blocks God's call for us. It's our disobedience to God's instruction. And even though all of us deal with sin, and all of us suffer from sin's effects, and everyone in here, from young ages to old, I know we all feel the effects of sin one way or another, right? But the challenging thing is we don't always see it. Even though sin can be obvious at times, sin's consequences can often be hard for us to detect. And so today, because the children are here, we have some really interesting things we want to do to help illustrate how this concept of sin can be in our lives, but also we want to illustrate how we, through God's love and God's plan, can really fight against the sin and really bring great healing and the impact of what happens when we share our love to a world that is experiencing sin. You know, like I said before, sin, stated simply, is an interruption to God's blessings. In our sin, it's not that God withholds blessings, but rather we choose to ignore or rebel against Him, right? Sin, like I said, is an interruption to God's blessings. And although God asks us to go after His word and to choose His instruction, sometimes we choose other things that don't always turn out the way we want, and this is the effect of sin. Oftentimes, sin is not just what we choose to do and what others do to us. Sometimes it's a reaction to how others have treated us, right? And then other times, I think sin can even come from how we treat other people, right? Sin can be, we can just be rough towards other people and not, like, respect them and not... And because our sin has not treated other people's well, it comes back and it affects us, right? And I'm doing this because a lot of times we don't see the effect of sin. We don't see what it does to us. But this is what it does to us. And I think some sins can leave messier things on us than this, right? Now, so sin's impact isn't always just about us. I think sometimes we experience sin, especially at all ages, because of other people and how other people can treat us, right? Sin can be about how the world treats us and hurts us and affects us. We didn't do anything to deserve this, but the world can treat us, and then again, sin leaves its mark. And we, in our retaliation, we try to fight back. We try to fight back. We fight back. But the crazy thing is when there's lack of forgiveness and retaliation, it tends to hurt us more than it hurts the people we retaliate against. Whatever your sin is, right? However this illustration connects with you, I don't want you to look at me, right? Look at me. Look at your sin. Look at me. Look at your sin. No, sorry, that's an Old Spice commercial. But I don't want you to look at me and think about what's going on with me. I want you to think, as this is going on, what's the sin in your life? What's the sin that affects you? What hits you? Because however this illustration connects with you, the outcome is the same for all of us. Sin makes us look ridiculous. All right? The fact of the matter is that sin has an awful effect on us. It's embarrassing, right? It creates shame. It stains. It causes us to cry uncontrollably, right? And it's dirty, right? Again, this is the cleanest option I could give you of the visual illustration of what sin does to us. But sadly, so often we don't see the reality of our sin, right? Even as obvious and as blatant, as visible and as audible as it is, it's easiest for us to think that as we leave the moment of sin, as we leave that time where we have experienced sin or been sinned against, that we can leave that moment unchanged. But the fact of the matter is that we do not leave unchanged. Sin leaves a mark on us. And though you may not see its consequences, I know for sure you feel its consequences. There's a spiritual texture almost about sin and how it changes us and makes us feel different. But this is just a few incidents. Imagine what people around you and yourselves go through every day. It's not just one. Imagine if it just continued to layer on. If it continued to smear and then more and more stuff added. Right? Imagine if I couldn't change my clothes. And it continued to add on. It continued to layer on me. Even at best, even with this clean stuff, it would start being awful after a while. It would start being disgusting. And again, if you could imagine worse things than this being smeared on you, it's even more sickening, right? It has even a worse effect on your relationships, on the people around you, and on yourself. You know, the fact of the matter is, I could try to change, right? I could easily peel these layers off, but imagine what that's like doing that right in front of you, right? Because sin has a way of creating shame. And it's hard, once you're entrenched in your sin, to actually peel off the layers. It's embarrassing. It's hard to fight past the identity that you've created and try to be different when everyone else is watching you. You know, but God sees your need. Because of your situation, God has sent help. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says this: "This is how God has showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. The fact of the matter is, you may be able to escape people's perspective of sin, and they might not see this, but God looks and he sees. And the crazy thing is, he sees, and he doesn't want to destroy or break you because you've disobeyed. He doesn't want to punish you, but instead he wants to bring transformation into your life. He sees you in your state. He sees you in your need. He sees you in your filth of your sin or the filth of other people's sin, and he wants to rescue. God has sent the greatest incredible hero of all time, and he sent Christ. And as Jesus transformed one life after another, changed one person from zero to hero, he reaches you through this chain of love and compassion. And you're here today because someone has reached someone who has reached someone and has brought you here. God sends heroes into our lives, into your life, carrying the message of hope and love. Through these heroes, actually, through the heroes that God sends in our lives, God creates the church. Not a building, but the collection of God's people. And a safe place where we can find healing and transformation. Where we do have to invite certain people to see how we look, but there's protection, right? Where people don't have to see us, and they don't have to watch, and there's not the fear of judgment, right? God has delivered love through the involvement and the investment in our lives. No matter how messy we are, God is unafraid because love is not afraid to get involved. Love's not afraid to get dirty. And God sends people in your lives, and you have to welcome those people in the church among God's people who are living out God's love and God's mercy. You got to deal with each layer. You're able to find cleansing, and you're able to change without judgment. However, again, you got to allow people to see certain parts of your life. You have to understand God's plan more clearly. When we choose to love others the way Christ loved us, we extend a safe place for people to find God's love, to find healing and forgiveness in the sins that we experience. When we choose to love others, we choose to arrive here and give, and we choose to give hospitality. When we choose to work through conflict, when we choose to be vulnerable and humble, when we choose to deal with each other's differences. When we choose to live by God's word and not by our opinion. When we choose to overcome prejudices. When we choose to have a certain, to let go of our preconceptions and our traditions. We get to experience a safe place. We get to experience God's plan of redemption in a powerful way. And the powerful thing is, it's not... Sometimes transformation takes time. And it takes more time than we really planned it would take. And even though we know the World Cup is coming, we still have to have the patience to wait out each other's differences and wait for the transformation. And we got to be humble to God's plan. You know, at the end of the day, transformation takes time. And not all transformation is perfect. Sometimes it can be loud. But when we choose, again, and it's not perfection, right? Not a perfect plan, not perfect timing. It's not our perfection that provides the shelter, really. God just needs our humble surrender. He needs your honesty. And he knows that it's going to take some time to clean everything off, but we can start changing our identity. He knows, and he can help us through our weakness. His power doesn't work through our perfection, but works through our faith and our obedience. Right, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, again, it says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us,
We ought to love one another. In all of our mess, it's incredible. God still allows us to imitate his incredible love displayed to us. You would think, as broken and as messy as we are, we have no right to carry God's message of love, even to bear the identity of his incredible love. But he calls us, man, as God loved us, let's love others. Let's be a people who appreciate the incredible love by the way we love others, right? Let's extend God's love to others. Let's not be afraid of the differences and the barriers. Your love, your care, your sharing makes a difference in someone's life and allows that person to become a hero in someone else's life and continues God's chain of unending love. Let's be a people who share this love with others, and let's also be a people who invite this kind of love into our lives, this kind of introspection, this kind of a vulnerability to clean off all the muck and mire in our lives. God desires you to have healing, transformation, and change. So I hope that we're able to find it, where I hope we're able to share it as a church today. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'd like us to take a moment to take the communion together. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer as we take the communion together as a church and as a family. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know all the antics, God, the seriousness, God, your sacrifice is incredible. The foolishness of what we... This actually is appropriate because our sin is that foolish in light of your sacrifice. It is like we've covered ourselves in shaving cream or silly string, God. Wasn't just some
foam that you wiped off yourself. It was your own blood, God. And you gave your life for us, Father, so that we could be cleansed of the trivial things that catches
up, or even some of the powerful and significant things that scar us and cut us so deep. And no matter what we go through, God, you have powerful love that transforms and heals us. God, I thank you so much for your people that you died to we're not perfect. Structure.
She's God in our family. But the powerful thing is, God, that you work despite all of those shortcomings. And you bring us a powerful brand of love that we've never experienced before. Thank you, Father, for your incredible love. Thank you for this time that we get to take the fruit of the vine and that we get to take your blood into us, God, and allow it to bring cleansing and healing into our lives. Thank you, God, for this bread that represents your body that you broke for us, Father, and that we get to be a part of your life, where you get to share and experience your love.
Love you. We thank you so much for this time of meditation. And I pray that it allows us to draw nearer to you, Father. We love you. We thank you so much for this time. In your son's name we pray. Amen.